God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to take your Bibles, we're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 2. Today's Sunday, October the 29th, 2023. End of October already? Woo-hoo! Maybe we'll be gathered before November. Yes and amen. Ephesians chapter 2 is where we're going to start. You know, in the Bible we can read about many characteristics of God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We read where it says God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is love. The Bible says that he is the God of hope. In Corinthians, he is the God of all comfort, or the God of all encouragement. And he is also the God of peace. And this morning, we're going to consider two things. One, the peace that we have with God because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. Peace with God. And then secondly, our own peace of mind. Our own mental peace, if you will. So we're going to start here in Ephesians 2. And I think because you've read it before and have a little understanding that as a result of Adam's sin, mankind as a whole was separated from God because of not having the Spirit of God, which God originally intended for human beings to walk around with their body, with breath, life, soul, life, and spirit. Because of Adam's sin, human beings, mankind, was now separated from God. But because of the completed work of Jesus Christ, we've been reconciled back to God. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 12. It says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Such a sad state. And keep in mind that the book of Ephesians was originally sent to born-again believers with a Gentile background. And that's why it says that you were without Christ, without God in the world, because the Messiah, the Savior, was promised to who? Israel. Jesus Christ was a minister to the circumcision, to Israel. Remember, he said, I am not sent but to the lost house, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Gentiles that were not part of the lineage from Abraham just wandering around the earth for centuries without God, without hope. That's why it says that. And so Israel was expecting the Messiah, the Savior. Of course, no one knew God's big plan, the mystery, which, of course, as you know, is revealed here in a lot of detail in the book of Ephesians. So verse 12 again, that at that time, those of you from a Gentile background were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. Not his literal blood, but by his death, the sacrifice. For he is our peace, who hath made both, that's Jew and Gentile, one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition that was between us. And verse 15 says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, of two, one new man, so making peace. Enmity, we get the word enemy from the word enmity. And the word enmity means hostility, opposition. Mankind was in opposition to God. Mankind was separated from God, not having the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, we're classified, those that are not born again, as enemies. Keep your finger here. Look at Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. The peace we have with God is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We're in Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime or formerly alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. We've been reconciled back to God. We're no longer alienated. We're no longer strangers and foreigners. We're not enemies. So back to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read that verse again, verse 15. Having abolished, Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both, Jew or Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity. There it is again. The enmity thereby. There's no more enmity once we're born again. There's no opposition. There's no. It's all taken care of. We've been reconciled back to God. And then verse 17, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off, that'd be the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, those from the Judean background. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners. We're now fellow citizens with the saints, and we are of the household of God. We have peace with God. We've been reconciled. There's no more opposition between born-again ones and God Almighty. There's no more separation because we have his Spirit in us. How blessed we are. Look at Romans 5. If you back up just a bit to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, Romans 5, 1, therefore, being justified by faith. By faith would be by believing. And justified, justification, righteous, righteousness. They all come from the same word, which means to be right according to a legal standard. And of course, the legal standard we're talking about is God's legal standard, and there is no higher legal standard than God's standard. So being justified, being made right in the sight of God by believing, we have what?
Peace.
Peace with who? We have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, not from our good works. So many people are trying to have peace with God by doing all the right things, praying enough, reading enough, doing all the good things so that they could have no conflict with God, so that they would not be afraid. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that obtained peace with God for us. And in verse 5, it says, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, he died for us, the sacrifice, we're justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We have peace with God. There's no more conflict. There's no more opposition. We can look God in the eyes, so to speak, without fear, without condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. and some of these other things that we could think about in terms of what God says for born again ones, that we're lovely, we're acceptable, that we're unreprovable, unblameable in his sight. And oh, how blessed we really are in the new birth, being born again. In if you back up, look at chapter 1 in Romans, it says, this is pretty cool, chapter 1, verse 7 says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single church epistle begins in the salutation with grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of them. And not just Romans through Thessalonians, but also 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus and Philemon and 1 and 2 Peter. God wants us to have his peace because of the new birth from God's point of view. Doesn't matter what you think. I remember the first time I took a Bible class. Never had taken one before, and it was on a reel-to-reel, you know, sitting there on the front row. Young people might not know what a reel-to-reel is. And Dr. Werrell was the Bible teacher, and I don't know where it was in the class, but it sort of stunned me. He went, I don't give a hoot what you think. This is what God's Word says. I'm like, wow, I never heard anybody that blunt and bold about the Word of God before. But see, it doesn't matter what we think. This is what God's Word says, that we have peace with the God of peace. He is the God of peace, and we have peace with him. And we're no longer separated. We're no longer alienated. Nothing can separate us from his love. We have peace with God. You know, there are some people that where they live, they are at war with their neighbor for years. Never have a bad neighbor? We're at peace with God. There's no more conflict. That's what God said. And knowing that, does that not help us to go to him? Knowing he's not mad at you? Knowing he's not looking at you at every fault you make, every goofy thought you ever thought? No, he just loves us. There's no conflict anymore. So that's the peace that we have with God. And now let's consider our own peace of mind. We live in days where there's a lot of chaos in the world, and you know, thanks to the information age, maybe we hear more than we really need to at times, right? Used to be years ago, you didn't know what's going on in the world until you turned the 6 o'clock news on at night and go, oh my gosh, there's trouble somewhere. Now it's 24 hours a day. You can get more news than you want from all over the world, from every part of the world. But we live in times where there is a lot of chaos in the world, and sometimes we hear disturbing things that can cause fear, can cause anxiety, cause anger, any number of emotions. And then add to that things that we need to deal with in our own personal lives, sometimes unpleasant. But having fear, having anxiety, having worry is not God's will for his children. God does not want us to live that way. And living that way in anxiety and frustration and worry, living that way is, first of all, it's very frustrating to live that way. And it's also a big strain on our physical bodies. Stress is very unhealthy. But God wants us to have peace, not anxiety. And peace, of course, is the opposite of worry, anxiety, and fear. Peace is rest, tranquility. Take a breath. You know, when a nation is not at war, what do we say? Well, they are at peace, right? There's no conflicts going on. When it comes to our mental state, God does not want us full of anxiety, worries, and fears. The God of peace wants us to have peace, his peace. So, as you might have guessed, we're going to Philippians chapter 4. But before we read the familiar verse in Philippians 4, let's back up just a bit and get a little context in chapter 4 of Philippians. Ephesians, Philippians. Everybody there? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." Woohoo! It's pretty difficult to rejoice when we're frustrated, uptight, full of anxiety. Rejoice? It's not easy. There's no joy in that. There's no peace in our hearts and minds when we're that way. Rejoice? Yep, that's what God says. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known of all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything," and you know that word careful is much better translated, anxious. It means mentally distracted, fried, stressed, whatever word works for you. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Mental distraction, unrest, upheaval. Instead of that, God promises to give us His peace. His peace. You know, I think I looked it up, but the phrase, "the God of peace," comes up 5 times in the Bible. He is the God of peace, just like He's the God of all comfort, just like He is love, just like He is light, just like He is the God of hope. He is the God of peace. If you keep your finger here, we're coming right back. Go to Isaiah chapter 26. Or as he says in the advanced class, leave a marker here. I love that. Leave a marker here in Philippians and go to Isaiah 26. I'm sure this is another familiar verse. But it's a good one to remember, and it's a good one to review from time to time. Isaiah chapter 26. Everybody there? Good. Verse 3. "Thou," that'd be God, "thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Peace. Or some translations have it in peace, peace. "That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Verse 4, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." So it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." It's not automatic. Darn it. It's not automatic. We can focus on negatives, whatever they are, wherever they're from. We can focus on those, or we can put our focus and trust on God to give us that perfect peace. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." He's the God of peace. We keep our mind stayed on him by reminding ourselves of his words, his promises, and also by giving him thanks for what he's already done for us. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind," what's mind? Thoughts, our thinking. Guess who's in charge of our thinking? We are. Before we go back to Philippians, look at Psalm 4. Yep, we can't go to somebody and go, "You know, I'm really having a problem with my thinking. Could you think some good stuff for me?" It's our own mind, our own thinking. Psalm 4. "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makes me dwell in safety. God wants us to have peace. So back to Philippians 4. We might end up reading these two verses more than once this morning, but that's okay. You ever done that when you're reading the Bible and you read a verse and you're like, wow. You go back and you read it again and you just pause for a minute and then you go, gosh. Well, it's kind of like what we're doing this morning. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It's our choice to do both parts of this verse. So instead of being worried and anxious and mentally distracted and frazzled and stressed, we choose not to do that, and instead, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we let our requests be made known unto God. Keep in mind, this is what the God of peace says we ought to do. And he ought to know about peace. He's the God of peace. So that'd be good to follow if we want peace in our hearts and minds. Follow some instructions from the God of peace. So we go to him in prayer with thanksgiving, and we can certainly thank him for things that he's already done for us in the past. We can thank him for the promises that are available to us as his wonderful children. We can thank him that he's still a God of delivering power. And as it says in the Old Testament, his arm's not waxed short. He's not lost any of his power. We can certainly praise him for that and thank him for that. We can thank him that his ears are always open unto our prayers. And then we could say, Father, this is what I need. This is my request. And I don't know, that verse says, let your requests. It doesn't say let your single. You get one request per prayer time. So prioritize. Let your requests be made known unto God. God, I got a laundry list today. I need this. I need this. This is going on. And then verse 7, the result and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise from God. And you know what? God doesn't make us believe anything. He doesn't make us think anything. Gave us free will, right? And there are plenty of verses we know in the Bible about controlling our thinking. Lead every thought captive. Set your thoughts on things above. Put on the mind of Christ, casting down imaginations. Fear not, be not afraid. And here, God's word to us is to be anxious for nothing. So it's a mental decision. Because it's, you know, it's really easy to say all the right things when things are going good, right? Yay, God, God's so great. I'm so blessed. Oh, this happened. You know, it's so easy to do that when everything's going good. But when we hear about things going on in the world or something unpleasant personally, now it's a choice. But again, it's a choice to do both parts of this verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Instead, pray with thanksgiving and give him our requests. It is not God's will for us to live with fear, anxiety, frustrations. That's not God's will for his children. His will, as we're reading these verses, looks like it's peace, doesn't it? Peace. Peace. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And again, that worry, fear, and anxiety, that's the opposite of peace. Jesus Christ said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God has promised to keep us in perfect peace as our minds are stayed on Him. And again, instead of being anxious, we pray with thanksgiving. It's a choice to worry or to pray. It's always a choice to worry or to pray. One leads to peace and the other leads to stress. And again, it says in that verse 6, prayer and supplications with thanksgiving. It's really easy to rattle off a bunch of negatives and problems, but man, we have lots to be thankful for. We have food to eat. We have shelter. Has God ever blessed us before? Has He ever protected us in the past? Has He ever healed us before? We have lots to be thankful for. Part of keeping our mind stayed on God is remembering and thanking Him for His blessings. And doing that consistently gets rid of the anxiety and the fear, and it actually increases our trust in God to provide, because we're reminding ourselves of what He's done before, and it builds trust in Him to continue to provide. And then as we do that, the peace of God guards our hearts and minds. Before we close in John, the Gospel of John, let's read these six verses again, starting at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known of all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a wonderful section. We're going to close in the Gospel of John chapter 14, if you would. John chapter 14. The God of peace. John chapter 14, everybody there? This was during the Last Supper, which is good to remind ourselves of that, because all hell was about to break loose. And Jesus Christ knew it. He gave them lots of instruction, lots of things He shared at the Last Supper. And He said in chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. That's my job. Let not your heart be troubled. It's a choice. I am responsible for my own thoughts. If I think good things, okay. If I think crappy things, it's on me. Yeah, but the guy cut me off and it's on me. I can think whatever I want. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in Me. Go to verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He or it shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And we have received the Holy Spirit, haven't we? We got born again. We did. We got the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was right. God was going to send the Spirit of God. And it says that we have this. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Not a stressed out mind, fried. I'm just fried. You ever said that? Sure, we all have. We all have. God doesn't want us fried. He doesn't want us stressed. He doesn't want us full of anxiety. He wants us tranquil mentally, with peace, His peace. Well, verse 26, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send in My name. He'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God doesn't want us afraid. God doesn't want us stressed out. So, in conclusion, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Almighty God, the one true God, the God of peace, through his magnificent plan of salvation and redemption, you and I, we are now righteous in the sight of God. We're no longer enemies, no longer separated, no longer in opposition. We belong to God Almighty. We are his. We have peace with the Almighty. And he has lovingly told us how to have his peace in our hearts and minds. What a great, big, wonderful God he is. Father, thank you for your great love for us, your desire for us to live a life that's blessed at this day and time, before Christ comes back, that you want us blessed. Thank you, Father, for your wonderful word that gives us so much great information about you, and Father, such great information about how we can live our lives and be blessed and not stressed. Thank you for the completed work of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because without him we have nothing, and because of him we have everything. Thank you for the great privilege to share your word today. Please bless everyone here, those on the hookup, those that may listen to it later. Thank you, Father, for being a great, big, wonderful God. Thank you for the awesome privilege to have peace with you, and Father, for showing us how we can have your peace in our hearts and minds. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.